Here we go, the John Curley Sherry Elliger Show, starring the teeny tiny lady in the pickle jar. Diving in the day! That's right, she wants billing. I heard from her agent. She says, why Sherry get all the attention? I'm just as much part of the show as she is. Been here a hell of a lot longer than she has. She can strangle herself with her own big hands. So, anyway, there we go. Teeny Tiny will be mentioned in all the shows.
Yeah, so will Teeny Tiny be joining us on the pre-show call?
Maybe. She's got time. Alaska Airlines is suffering. By the way, I should say right now, I'm a huge Alaska Airlines fan. I love the fact that I am an MVP gold 100,000 miler. Yeah, I have no life. But when they come by and they give you that little piece of chocolate, and the person goes, hi, Mr. Curley, I want to thank you very much for being an MVP. I say, a little louder. Let everybody know. Special guy right here. Give me that chocolate. Okay. Thank you very much for being a 100,000. Whoa, I don't mind being a 100,000 miler. Thank you.
And all of a sudden you become George Takei after that.
No, that'd be like this. Where's my chocolate? Do you mind if I take my shirt off and sword fight someone in the aisle? They're having problems. And they've been canceling flights left and right. I don't like doing bad stories in Alaska, but they got some problems because they didn't expect the travel to come back as quickly, and they've got some problems with the contracting, and there's not enough pilots.
Ronald Hines isn't sure what to do.
It was sort of a possible up-and-coming issue, which I'm going, what's going on here?
He's heading to Orange County from SeaTac today.
By the way, can you save that? What's going on here? That'd be a good drop later on. Yeah.
He's flying Alaska Airlines. When looking up at the board, he's thankful his flight's still on time, but others are either seeing delays or even getting canceled.
It does seem like a lot.
While at the time he was looking, only four flights in and out of SeaTac with Alaska had been canceled, he heard that over 35 had been canceled across the country, which according to FlightAware represents about 5% of its flights. But he likes to keep his spirits high.
If it happens, it happens.
Because Alaska...
This guy is just a walking Dropbox for us. This poor guy gets interviewed by Como. He's like, I don't understand it. They talked to me for like an hour, and they only used like two or three things I said. It's my invitation to that
guy. Pilots are now voting with their union, deciding whether they're going to strike while their union negotiates an updated contract. While this may feel like another roadblock, especially considering how travel's been impacted these last 2 years, one retired pilot we spoke with isn't too concerned.
It does actually sound like it's, you know, deja vu. We do this every couple of years.
This man didn't want to give us his name, but had been a pilot with American Airlines for nearly 40 years. He says both sides are wanting something in these negotiations, but don't appear to be connecting in the middle just yet.
The advantage for the pilots this time, of course, is the fact that there's actually a shortage of pilots.
He says the downside for passengers is that flights will keep getting delayed or even canceled in the process, so patience is the name of the game.
It's frustrating. You get angry. Yeah, you're going to miss your flight. I mean, I've looked at these situations. I've been stuck myself, and you just have to go with the flow.
But that leaves passengers like Hines in a bit of a pickle.
Oh, back to this guy. He's got 3 seconds to drop one more thing in. He's in a bit of a pickle.
I'm coming back on Saturday. I don't know what'll happen.
Wait, they kind of left him right.
Disappointing.
We don't ever know. Did he ever come back? Whatever happened?
If it happens, it happens.
That's right. There you go.
You got that at least. He didn't have much of an encore,
Andrew, get on the phone. Try to find that guy. Find out if he ever came back. Really put Andrew on that story. It is difficult for Alaska. I found that piece. I don't know if you were able to turn it around fast enough, Jacob.
We got some sound.
Okay, where is that one? That's the, where you get that under?
Alaska Pilots, yeah.
Alaska Pilots. Okay, in this video, Alaska Airlines Master Executive Council features pilots explaining why... Oh, they've left for other airlines. Oh, no. This is going to cost me chocolate if I play this.
I thought Alaska was going to be where I spend my entire career. Come to find out, it wasn't quite so much the case. A lot of the attention was focused on the customer and not on the employee. And one...
Nothing wrong with that.
Mm-mm.
Day I just decided to apply to United.
I was trying to be happy at Alaska, but I just wanted more in a lot of... little ways. There are just a lot of little reasons that I wanted to go to Delta.
the flying public, our pilot group, always want the best to come and work for Alaska Airlines. And when we see attrition and we do exit interviews and hear but for scheduling flexibility, but for job security, they would have stayed. And as the union chairman, that's why we're working hard to negotiate a new contract with Alaska Airlines. Some of these pilots who've left are just amazing individuals and could have offered so, so much.
My husband and I try to mesh our schedules at Alaska. There's some restrictions on picking up and trading and that sort of thing, whereas I can basically, with Delta, drop down to nothing and build my schedule the way I want. I get to do all the mom stuff and just spend time with them instead of coming and going as much as I would at Alaska.
Oof, ominous music in a minor key. You can't beat that. All right, well, Alaska is still working it out, but occasionally you do get the flight has been canceled and then they reschedule you on something else. Sometimes it's a day later. It could most likely get worse as we head into the summer. I'd seen that travel heading back up again. People will be paying more for everything, but people have returned back to normal. Vacation plans. So Alaska needs to get more pilots in there. They have started a program in order to be able to train pilots. They have their own pilot training school. Of course, you know, my son, who got his license and then needed to go to the FAA, and then he needed to go see this doctor, a psychiatrist, psychologist, whatever this guy is. I won't say his name on the air, who sat down with Rye because they have to determine whether he is ADHD because he took medicine back when he was like in seventh or eighth grade. And if you do that, the FAA does a big, you know, on you. So he sat down with this doctor, and one of the first or second questions was, so do you have the same politics as your father?
Somewhat
irrelevant, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Doesn't it seem irrelevant? And is your father also, so you don't believe in vaccines and you don't believe in masks? Do you share the same politics? What's it like having a famous father? That's what that doctor said in Seattle. So if you're listening, doctor, I should have a talk with you because it didn't seem to be relevant as to whether or not my son could be a pilot, but that's the way some people roll in their profession in Seattle. Travelers will no longer be restricted when it comes to liquids. Thank God for this because of new technology. Yeah, the stupid, 4 ounces you can't have, 3 ounces you can have, right? So now they've decided. They figured it out. They've got a machine that is able to, detect what the liquid is that's inside there, Sherry?
Yeah. And, you know, I found this amazing. This started back in 2006. That's how long we've been doing this, you know, measuring things out and putting things in a separate baggie and all of that stuff. But this started at Ireland's Shannon Airport, and they invented this kind of, it's like a CT scan. So what they're able to do is they're able to see how much liquid is in something and what the liquid is. So there's going to be no restrictions on volume. Unfortunately, it's not widespread right now. Not everybody has this machine. They're kind of a trendsetter. But they think that if they can get this into more airports, then we don't have to worry about it anymore. We don't have to have them throw away. I mean, I can remember them throwing away, like I'd just gotten a new bottle of whatever it is, perfume or something like that. And totally forgetting it about it.
Oh, I love that. It's got that musky stuff and sort of hints of lemon and things.
Yeah, you like that?
Whatever it is.
Yes. Yeah, the whatever it is. Oh, dear, whatever it is.
Right. What is that smell? Whatever it is. It's horrible.
If it happens, it happens.
That's right.
So hopefully that will be a thing of the past because they're working on that.
I'm sorry. I interrupted your story. So you're there. No. You got a big bottle of whatever it is.
I don't remember whatever it is. Yeah, it was something. Like that's happened to me a few times, you know, where I've had like a thing of shampoo or hairspray and I've just forgotten about it and they toss it. They don't, you know, there's no negotiating. It's just like, forget it. Okay.
Yeah.
Or I've forgotten and gotten like a Coke or a bottle of water or something as I'm going through, and I think I'm going to be able to drink it before I get through security, and that gets tossed too.
They link to a tweet that the TSA put out at some point in this article, and it features you know, a bunch of all the bottles of liquids that they've collected. I presume it was some airport over time, and one of them is an entire bottle of ranch, which seems like there should be a story behind that. I thought that was pretty funny.
What's going on here?
Yeah,
rancher.
I would, American Crew grooming cream. Jacob, you probably don't use this in your weird, big, thick, gross, thick hair. But it's $15 for one of these little things. And it's, too big. So I went to the, I'm standing there, the guy goes, sorry, gotta throw this out. It's too much. I was like, that's like $15. The guy goes, yeah, it's more than 3 ounces. It's like, what if I have it in my hair? well, that's right. So I took the top off and I scooped out like a cupful, like an entire palm of it, all of it. I wiped it all out and I just stuck it right in the front of my hair, like a gigantic thing, like something's matter with Mary or whatever it was, but like a giant glob of it.
Something's wrong with Mary. Whatever it is.
Mary, what's wrong? What's wrong, Mary? And I took that big glug and I just stuck it right on top of my head. You guys like, oh, I guess that's okay. And then I went on through.
And you got to keep the rest of it.
Huh? Yeah.
You got to keep the rest of it.
Yeah, because that lessened the thing. She should have done the same thing with that French, that Russian dressing or whatever the dressing was.
It was French. Well, they just drank half of it right there. Just downed it. Or put it in their hair.
No, put it in your mouth and then spit it back into the bottle.
But you got to hold it in your mouth the whole time.
Through security.
Yeah, that could be a problem.
Hold on a second. You open the thing, you pour a whole bunch of as much as you can hold in your mouth, then you get right in that line, then you put your hands up over your head with your little feet on the yellow feet thing, and then you say, blank the government, blank the government, blank the government, while the thing goes across your back and shoots you with a bunch of radiation, and then you come out, you get to the bottom, spit it back in. There's ways around this.
It is hard to say the epithet about the government when your mouth is full of ranch, though.
Ranch. But, but I don't know that that could be a long line. You'd have to really time that out because if you got a little drip down there.
Sherry, this is not an amateur move. These moves that I'm giving you, whether it's the cream in your hair or the ranch in your mouth, this is for flyers that do a lot.
This is serious flyers.
Yeah, yeah, the
100,000 milers.
Yeah, easy, easy.
Okay,
Or you cup it. You have the TSA guy pour the ranch into your hands. You have it in your hands.
Well, then you can. Then when you had to help put your hands up to go through the radiation machine, not good.
I was just thinking of you with your giant hands.
Oh,
I hope they did this thing through. I get so many free bottles of wine at auctions and stuff. Here is a bottle of blah, blah, blah. I'm like, oh, thanks. And then I jump in the car and Uber over to the airport. I got this beautiful bottle of wine or something going through with a friend of mine once, and I go, I can't take this wine, and I don't want to check the bag. And she's like, I think it's like a $300 bottle of wine. I go, yeah, I know, I don't want to check the bag, I don't care enough. So we're walking through the airport, and there's some guy there from, I don't know, he's working for Delta or Alaska Airlines. I say, excuse me, you like wine? The guy goes, yeah, I like wine. I go, hey, here's a bottle of wine for you. And then we followed up with, but don't just pull the cork out and drink it tonight. It's like a, head on, listen to me. That's like a $300 bottle of wine. Enjoy it. But like, save it for a special occasion. And then as I walked away, I turned around and came back. Like an anniversary or something, or like a retirement or something huge. Don't just drink it. And then the guy goes, wow, a lot of pressure you're putting on me now.
Right. A lot of conditions on that sale.
A lot of strings attached. A lot of strings. Because I didn't want just to go home. I wanted to realize that's a really good bottle of wine.
Yeah, but you give a gift because, well, it really wasn't even a gift.
No,
it was more of
a
trash.
A
it was
just finding
like,
anybody.
It was that
if
or a
it
trash
happens,
can.
It happens.
That's what I said. All right. By the way, Vicky White is in. Oh, we don't have time for this story. We have to get to this because it's so tragic. And, you know, really had a real interesting response to this. This is the story about the woman who was just a day or a week away from retiring. And she then got talked into letting this convict out. I think we can knock this one out in the amount of time. So she gets this guy who had been in for murder and a bunch of other stuff. He talks her into it, and then she sneaks him out. She buys a car. They ditch that car, get in another car.
We developed information that these suspects were in the Indiana area and that they were possibly staying at a local hotel. Surveillance was established on that facility. A short time later, Vicky White came out of the hotel. She was wearing a wig. The two suspects got into a vehicle. The rolling surveillance continued. We asked for assistance. And a short time later, there was a a chase, a vehicle chase, and the suspect wrecked, the car rolled over, and we approached the vehicle to get the two suspects out. We got Casey White out, and he immediately announced that that his wife had shot herself in the head and that he didn't do it.
Phew, hey. All right, we still have some time. We should talk about this at some point. Jacob, can we save it for the bottom of the hour? This woman, obviously, I guess she must have felt like there was some sort of a, like, this was going to fill this void in her life.
Sheriff, did they have a plan? Were they trying to get somewhere? Obviously, he wanted to escape.
Their plan was pretty faulty. They're criminals. Their plan was faulty, and it failed. Thank God.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, they've known each other for a while, so I think this has been in the works for a couple of years, as a matter of fact. So,
okay, all right.
A lot went into this planning. And what's, you know, surprising is that she killed herself and he didn't, if she killed herself.
Yes. Plus, also, just, you know, well, you know this because you've worked with these prisoners. You've done time. You've been in these prison systems.
I've run away with prisoners. Yeah, I've been on the run. I've been on the lam with a convict.
You know,
so
luckily you're on this show, and no one's listening to you, and no one's going to find you. So you'll be all right. But in the meantime, Nikki might turn you in, or the teeny tiny lady might turn you in.
Oh,
bad blood between the two of you two.
Yeah,
all right,
money on that. Mom's the word.
Oh, okay, good. Update on the mouse. The mouse did not show up last night, Sherry.
Did you leave anything for it, like the tooth fairy would? I mean, some little nibble other than your vitamin containers?
Nope. That's all.
Okay. Maybe he's moved on, you know? Or she's
maybe
he's
done
on.
Enough. Yeah, moved done enough. He wore down their teeth just enough, but didn't come back last night. I was ready to go. Kiel Mortgage, I know, Andrew, I know. Kiel Mortgage. If anybody out there needs a mortgage or a reverse mortgage, it's Kiel Mortgage. Give Kiel Mortgage a call. 1-888-778-KIEL. Kiel Mortgage. Thank you, Andrew. All right. This is a weird, sad, horrible story out of the Bay Area. NBC talks about the fact that a 3-year-old has lost her life because of an exorcism.
Today, we learned that the official cause of death for this little girl is asphyxia due to suffocation. And the medical examiner has officially ruled this a homicide. Authorities make that ruling when they believe the death was caused by actions of another person. They stress that's not a legal conclusion and doesn't necessarily mean anyone will face murder charges. However, we do know the victim's mother, Claudia Hernandez, was arrested in January on felony child abuse charges and remains in custody without bail. She declined our request to speak with her from jail. According to court documents we exclusively obtained last week, Hernandez and the girl's uncle brought her to the church last September, believing she was possessed by a demon because she would sometimes wake up at night screaming or crying. The girl's grandfather is a pastor at the church. According to the family statements to police, the three family members held the girl down for 7 hours, repeatedly forcing her to throw up in an attempt, they say, to rid her body of the evil spirit. Investigators also say the mother did not attempt to call for any medical help for at least 2 hours after the child died. When police arrived, they found the girl with multiple injuries around her eyes, face, neck, and chest. And they say that she had been given nothing except about 6 ounces of water in the 20 hours leading up to her death. The mom faces a potential life sentence if convicted. San Jose police declined to discuss the case, saying it remains under investigation.
Okay, so this, that's just stupid, careless adults, right? This isn't, what church was? This isn't a Catholic church, right? No.
Her grandfather, I guess, was a pastor at this church, and the little girl had been screaming in the middle of the night, and they thought that perhaps she was possessed. So they did this ritual on her, and it ended up killing her.
You can still get an exorcism if you like. Does the church now, the Catholic Church, are they still doing it? They do them over Zoom calls now?
The Catholic Church has said, or people, I guess, around the church and people that are in the know about these things say that exorcisms and possessions have really skyrocketed since COVID. And so more people are dealing with this kind of thing. And that now there's in this psychiatric, I guess, you know, the journal or whatever it is, possession is an actual, you know, thing. Like it's recognized now. And so they're finding that a lot of these Catholic churches are now doing exorcisms in their office, over the phone, via Zoom, that there is a lot of lot of requests for that. The Vatican sponsored an exorcism conference recently. 250 priests went in from 51 countries. And if you're wondering what the exorcism gear is, it's a purple stole, a crucifix, holy water, and I guess some sort of exorcism related a few other things, but that's basically what it is, like a Bible.
Yeah, I got
like
that on Amazon Prime. It came the other day.
you might want to do it on the mouse.
Everybody, of course, they always think Linda Blair, right? And
right,
the,
sure.
It was 1973, The Exorcist.
Yes.
The power of Christ compels you. The power of Christ compels you.
Oh, wait, stop, Andrew, stop. I should warn you, we're about to play this cut, so if anybody you're driving with a car right now that is possessed by a demon, there's a pretty good chance this will cause the person sitting in the car with you, or if you're at home, to begin vomiting pea soup. So you know what's for dinner. Here we go.
The power of Christ compels you. The power of Christ compels you. The power of Christ compels you. The power of Christ.
It's losing a little something on radio, doesn't it?
I don't know. I feel better. I don't know about you, but I feel much freer.
The power of Christ compels you.
Edgar could have picked
the power of Christ compels
where does she,
you.
Where hang on, she come on, up off the bed?
She's falling down right now. She's falling down back on the bed.
They're wearing out a little bit, too, the priests.
Me, too. I just threw up pea soup in the studio.
Do not despise my command because you know me to be a sinner.
Here she goes.
Oh, she's mad now. Now you've done it.
Now her head's going to spin all around. She needs a chiropractor.
The majestic Christ who commands you. Ooh, ooh, ooh. God the Father commands you.
Oh, there it is.
The Son commands you.
Up off the bed.
God the Holy
Poor Linda
Spirit
Blair.
Commands you. The mystery of the cross commands you. The blood of the martyrs commands you.
Oh, there's the bad part. That's there. Now, yeah, now you got her.
Yep.
By the way, the whole movie was jinxed. The spirits were after them. Because when they went to shoot the thing, the house had burned down because a bird had flown into some sort of circuit box. And then a bunch of people died. Relatives of the stars of the thing died. And then a couple of the actors died before they finished the thing. And then when they finally released the movie, there were people in Rome. Fans were forced to travel to a cinema in a downpour. The lightning struck right next to where was at a church, and then some lady passed out and broke her jaw. She sued the studio and was taken away. Then evangelist Billy Graham went so far to claim that it was the film itself was cursed, and it contained subliminal messages as well. Boy, I watched that movie, and people were throwing up in the movie theater watching that thing. Do you remember that? Did you go to the theater to watch that one?
I didn't see it in the theater, but I've seen it a number of times. And I went to see it last Halloween at a special, like, showing of it and everything. And it's amazing how, like, cheesy it seems now. I mean, it's still kind of scary, but it's just, it's like when she does the crab crawl thing up the stairs or down the stairs or whatever it is. I mean, that's sort of laugh out loud funny. I mean, the theater's laughed mostly at it at this point after everybody's seen it and everything.
Yeah. But don't ruin it for people where she's crab walking down the stairs.
Did that give it away? Was that a critical part? you knew there was something wrong when that happened. The pea soup wasn't enough. But boy, when she did that backwards crawl down those steps.
Well, the poor priest, was she vomiting right in his face? And then he uses his little purple thing to try to wipe it off. And what a mess. I think imagine being the poor priest having to show up for that one.
Well, I was an extra in Exorcist 3. And at that point, they had...
Hold on. Is this a compelling story? Because we could kill some time with this one at the top of the hour, right before. Is it going to be good?
Only if you tell the story
Andrew, look in the video for Exorcist 3. Let's see if we can find any of Sherry's, any of her lines, all right?
Okay. In the meantime...
Let's talk to Miss Lactator herself.
Oh, come on. I was going to say, Sherry, Exorcist 3 is my favorite of all exorcists, by the way.
Wow, look at you guys bonding over some of Sherry's great work.
Yes.
All right.
I love Mickey.
Hang on, everybody. This is an exciting story coming up. All right, here we go. Welcome back, John Curley, Sherry Ehrlicher Show. This is going to be exciting. Sherry's got a very, very exciting story about being in a movie back in 1990 called Exorcist 3. That's right. Exorcist 3 is about George C. Scott starred, and he noticed similarities between the current murder investigation and methods used in the Gemini Killer. Sherry was thus in this movie, which has been rated by Rotten Tomatoes at 59%. Here's Sherry with her fascinating story of Exorcist 3.
That was your description right there was far more exciting than anything I'm about to tell you. I got called to do this scene, and about the most exciting thing about it was that Larry King and C. Everett Koop were both making cameos that day. And C. Everett Koop, if you remember, he was the Surgeon General. He was the guy that had the beard but no mustache.
Yes, yes, yes.
So I sent Andrew a little bit of footage that it was the bar scene that I was in that Larry King was in. And it was the very opening scene, and the camera came down, and we were told...
Let me do Johnny Carson. You have a clip you're going to... Can you show us a clip from the movie or something? You have a clip you're going to run here?
Yeah, I think this is the bar scene. I think it's where Larry King is actually in the scene as well.
All right. Okay, let's watch it. Here we go.
Yes, many have gone to the top of those stairs.
This is him talking about it.
About things. Because that was such a wild scene that's left so much in people's minds.
This is my daughter. Hello.
Ready to go on the radio, and someone called me, a very nice lady, and said she was having dinner with Mr. Blatty, and they suddenly had an idea that he'd like to use Larry King in a scene in a restaurant to establish the Washingtonian flavor of this. Can you be here Monday? And I said, well, I got a book signing over at the Booksellers Convention. I'm going to New York tomorrow. Well, what time? We'll make it at your convenience. No filmmaker ever makes it at my convenience. So I said, 3 o'clock. So I got here at 2:30, and it's 4 o'clock. So it was at the convenience of no one. But I'm here because I'm going to do a scene, and I love The Exorcist 1, and I'm kind of getting a hoot out of this. I've done a few movies. It's kick. I've done a lot of interviews. I knew Dr. Ryan, who invented the term parapsychology. Okay. I've interviewed many priests, many religious leaders, people who've talked about exorcism. But by interest, I just have I've never believed it. You know, that the truest thing, I'll give you an example here. I'll use just this little bottle. It could be anything.
Okay, anyway, you get the point. So he was in the movie along with his daughter.
Hello, Toledo. Go ahead. Yeah. I know you wrote a book. I didn't bother to read it. Go ahead.
So he was in the scene with his daughter, Kaya King. And so Kaya and Larry were in the booth next to ours. And that what we had to do was when the camera came around and he said action, the director, we had to just burst into laughter. That was our thing. So we were trying to figure out how we could do this. So Randy Fink, who was another actor in the scene, just said to us, and this was his opening line, so we would all laugh.
I'm sorry, Sherry, run out of time. No, I'm kidding. No, go ahead.
He would say, and then I went to the bathroom. And we would all laugh, right? And we did 30,000 times. And nobody wanted to laugh anymore. And he didn't change his line. He just kept saying, and then I went to the bathroom. And we had to laugh like uproariously at this. Anyway, Larry King was
there.
Why did
they do take after take? Was Kaya messing up?
No, it was just that it was one long take. You know, it was this thing where they would go through, and it wasn't like they would cut away, so they had to do it. And if anything went wrong in that one long take, they had to start over again and do it one more time. So it was a very long day. I don't know if Mr. King ever got to his radio show. I'm sure he just walked out. But yeah, it went on for a really long time.
Yeah, and they asked me to be involved, and I was involved, and I got a book signing.
Right.
By the way, if you're not a good extra, you know, Paula, my first wife, she's been in so many movies, and I go, because I was in this movie, really? You were in Ghostbusters? Will I see you? No. I was in the. She was in 50, 60, 70 movies and never got seen because she realized that if you get seen, then you're done. You don't shoot another day, right?
Oh, it's the best. And if you don't get seen, then you can just read all day, right? You can stand outside or go to craft services or do whatever. If you get seen, you're working all day. And by working, I mean walking across the same street 30 times.
But you don't get another day out of it. They give you the thing and you're done. But she used to do the thing. She used to try to suck like weeks out of these jobs because then she could go apply for unemployment. So she goes, all the fools would be like, I need two people over here to, allow the dog to sniff you. And like, oh, me.
Right.
And you run over and then the dog sniffs you and then that's it for you. You don't get another day out of it. She would just suck the life out of those extra jobs.
And the dumb part is that people that think they're going to get seen in the movie, the definition of an extra is someone that's not really recognizable. So that you're never really going to be seen. I mean, maybe like the back of your head, but it's not, it's not like you can take your family and everybody can cheer for you or anything.
Nobody gets discovered.
Nobody.
No.
Not even me.
Thank you, Sherry, for your fascinating story of Hollywood.